Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Jack Berger. And when I'm stalking Springbok in the Namibian wilderness, all I take with me is a knife and the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. It's all a real man needs.
Thank you very, very much for listening. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. It's episode 33 and you are in for a treat. It's the usual, well, bunch of numpties, myself, Tim, him, JB.
Hi, Tim.
And Phil as well.
Hi, Tim.
And we've already been introduced by a man who is going to feature heavily and prominently on today's podcast, Jack Berger. It was a big, big day. If you've been listening to the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast from day one, you will know that there is not a rugby player that has received more adulation, more love, sometimes quite inappropriate love from JB. Well, when we were at the BT Sports Studios as their guests in the Media Hub, reviewing some of the non-televised matches for BT Sport, little did we know when we got there that Jack Berger was the guest on the show.
Wow. They say, don't meet your heroes. They're wrong. Meet your heroes. They're even better. They're even better in real life than on TV.
So we're going to talk about that as well. We'll talk about our experience from the BT Sport. There was some interesting stuff that happened both on air and off air that we will share with you as well. Also, some big old rugby matches in England, in France, in the Rabo Pro Direct 12 as well. So we'll be getting into that as well. We'll be starting a brand new feature called Banter Squadron.
Banter Squadron!
Banter Squadron! In a little bit. And we'll be looking at the England squad that Stuart Lancaster has got to pick. And that and loads more. So get in touch, of course, as you do brilliantly, and I thank you for that. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. But let's start. There we were, Saturday, before the final round of Premiership matches. Can you talk about that moment, JB, when Sean, the producer at BT Sport, let slip the news that Jack Berger was going to be
the guest of honour? He gave me some options. He goes, do you know who's going to be on the show? So, no idea. And he goes, do you want to guess? So I went, Andy Goode? It wasn't Andy Goode. And then, wow, Jack Berger. Thank you, Tim. I was surprised. I thought they might want to play him or he might want to be there. But no, media commitments. So, yeah, delighted.
When we got asked the question, I was thinking, kind of, who's not going to be playing? I was thinking, maybe someone who's retired or someone who's injured. But he's not. He's just on a booster week, as they do at Saracens.
Indeed they do.
And they did rest most of their squad, didn't they? Most of their first choice squad.
Yeah, pretty much. What a guy. Very, very nice. Yeah. And very, very modest. If I was, I don't know, 10% as good as him at rugby, you would never hear the end of it. Never hear the end of it.
We never hear the end of it anyway.
Exactly.
You'll hear an interview with Jack Berger, the like of which you will not have heard anywhere else in his rugby career so far. We didn't talk to him about rugby. We talked to him about something else, which you'll find out very soon.
Man stuff.
Yeah. But it was nice being back at BT Sport again. They were very hospitable. Good, lovely coffee machine. I need to know what coffee capsules they are. That was no Nespresso, was it?
It was Nespresso.
Oh, was it Nespresso?
It was actually Nespresso.
I mean, Nespresso, they're brilliant. Of course it was Nespresso. We were there. We were in the Media Hub, so there was the two televised games going on, and we'll talk about them in a bit. And then we were each given a game as well to look at. JB sort of struck gold there with Saracens Leicester. Great game to watch.
I just wanted to chat to Jack after. I knew you'd be interested, so.
And I got Sale London Irish, which was all right because I match announced for Sale and my brother plays for Irish. So that was quite good. I got to watch that. Phil?
Yeah, so I wanted Northampton Wasps because it should be a good game. It was a great game. And there was still something riding on it because Northampton had to get at least a point.
Yeah.
But did they get that point?
I don't know. I think they might have just got that point.
I think they scraped over the line.
Yeah, I think so.
But that was the other televised match, so I got stuck with one of the worst games I've ever watched. It was Newcastle Exeter.
Wow.
In horrendous conditions at Kingston Park. No one wanted to be there. Not least.
No one was there.
Well, yeah.
No, one person was there.
There was Stuart Lancaster. For some reason, he must have got lost on the way to the stoop. Must have
I don't get it. What was Stuart Lancaster doing at Kingston Park?
I think he's showing all the England team that when you're in the England squad, you've got to do things you don't want to do. kind of a fortitude thing.
Yeah. Sometimes we do things that aren't fun. No one's enjoying it. So, me, Stuart Lancaster, and about five or six other people watched. It was a terrible game.
So then the game's finished, and we'll get into the games in a second. And then Craig Doyle came to each of us in turn to say, right, well, tell us about that match. So, JB, tell us about Saracens Leicester. Or Leicester Saracens.
Well, if you saw me, you'll notice I was more wooden than the insides of the Marie Celeste. It wasn't a nice experience. Although we were very, very well looked after. So, Saracens versus Leicester. Started off pretty well for Saracens, and I actually thought Saracens were going to do a bit of a Claremont to Leicester. Dominant in defence, so Charlie looked absolutely awesome. Second half, they both teams decided that defence wasn't really for them. I still don't know why that guy got red carded. What's his face?
Melk
got red carded. I still have no idea. I thought the referee made a gouging sign.
The assistant referee told the referee that he'd made contact with Neil Briggs' eyes.
Oh, it's gouging then?
So, yeah.
I think if that guy stayed on, I can't say his name, Malk, they would have won that. And I think Ben Spencer's awesome.
Ben Spencer, the young scrum half.
He was so fast and his service is good. He scored two tries.
There's one game that we really want to talk about, so let's skim over the rest. So, the Sale London Irish, my review of the game is, it was a game that lasted 80 minutes, then the referee blew the final whistle. Right, move on. Oh, London Irish won. It was all the. You could tell everyone was on the beach, although actually it was pretty brutal up front. I will say that. The forwards went for it a bit. And there seemed to be a nice atmosphere at the end, and lots of the Irish players were hugging James O'Connor and Marlon Yard, and it actually seemed like a nice ending. So, yeah. And then it was the big moment for Phil, because. But this was your first, like, just you on shot.
Yeah.
Just you, Phil. This was your moment.
Yeah. Centre stage.
Yeah.
And I got cut. I got dropped brutally. But not only did I get dropped, so they went to ad break when they should have, or would have gone to me. But then shortly after the ad break, Craig Doyle came back to me.
Because he said in the ad break, he turned round and went, I'm really sorry, we had to cut you. The producer told me we'd run out of time, we had to cut you. I'm really sorry about that.
But then when it was live again, he came back to me to apologise again, but just ended up taking the piss out of me.
Firstly, like, called you Rich.
Yeah, got my name wrong.
Rich, but, I mean, Paul, Phil? Is it Phil?
Who are you? Why are you here?
Took the mickey out of my hair. And then just left me smiling, like just my smiling face, like grinning like an idiot for 3 or 4 seconds before cutting away again.
Like a nervous Vietnamese villager, just smiling away.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. So that means that, from now on, we've got myself, Tim, JB and Rich. And Rich, every time you try and speak, your microphone's going down, you're getting cut.
Imagine that. Phil's weekend is come up from the train in London, go back down on the train to London, go to BT Sport, be made to watch Newcastle.
I know.
Get your name wrong, and then get ripped about your hair. And then you can go home.
Oh,
Phil.
Cheers, Craig. I am glad, because the only things I could have possibly said about that game would have been extremely negative or exactly what Craig Doyle had already said. That could have added nothing.
Yes.
We're going to hear what happened when we spoke to Jacques Berger in a few minutes' time, but what also, there was what, obviously, Lawrence Dallaglio was there. We've not mentioned Lawrence Dallaglio, World Cup winner. He was my hero as a rugby player when I was growing up. I absolutely loved him. And he was just there, and we didn't pay him any attention. We were there the whole day. We got a picture with Jacques Berger. We got an interview with Jacques Berger. We chatted to Jacques Berger. I don't think we even bothered having a chat with Lawrence.
He might have been a bit put out, because we were like, We were following Jack Berger round, basically, and just completely ignored Lawrence Dallaglio, except for the last 5 minutes.
Where God, yeah.
Jay tried to engage in some conversation about Eurovision.
Yeah. No, I was watching TV, and then the Austrian entrant came on, and I was like, what is that? What is that?
Lawrence, no. Lawrence, have you seen the Austrian entrance to Eurovision?
No,
Lawrence,
mate.
Lawrence, have you seen the Austrian entrance?
No, mate, I haven't.
Lawrence Dallaglio was lying down on a sofa in the green room in a sofa that had been fashioned out of an old London telephone box. He was clearly on the phone talking to someone, and JB, the only thing he said to Lawrence Dallaglio all day was, Lawrence, have you seen the Austrian entry in Eurovision?
I'll tell you what, wow. Wow. I stand by that.
And yeah, we'll be down there again, I'm certain, especially, well, maybe not if Jack Berger goes there. He's probably had that written into his contracts in future that JB's allowed. Yeah. Got to stay 200 feet away from him. But the big game that was on the telly at the weekend and that was on in the studio and was the focus of all of it, really, Quinns Bath, turned out to be a belter.
Did you get the feeling that we all watched two games of rugby and were trying to watch all the other games of rugby because there was like six screens around us? So I watch more rugby than I've ever watched.
But like sensory overload.
Yeah, there's it's so like, little of it actually sunk in. I couldn't tell you very much about that Bath Harlequins game, even though it was on a monitor 2 feet away.
It feels like you're
building up
a resistance. Like by the time you finish, all your pleasure senses are shot. Like you've been a cocaine junkie for the last 8 years. Like, you know, nothing now makes any impression. You come out of there numb.
What I did seem to notice the whole afternoon long was Mike Brown getting mentioned in glowing terms again.
Yeah,
both defensively and in attack as well.
Yeah, he consistently looked good. Danny Kerr looked good as well.
Do you know what? And I'm not. We don't blow our own trumpet. If anything, we are self-deprecating, no. And rightly so, because we've got there's plenty of reason for us to be self-deprecating.
Yeah, we do self-deprecate because we are the top rugby podcast on iTunes. So yeah, we do quite often.
We are the top rugby podcast on iTunes.
Well, yeah, it's just a fact, isn't it? That is just actually a fact.
That's not bigging up yourself, blowing your own trumpet. That's just stating facts.
That is just stating facts.
In fact, we just like to state facts. We are the most popular rugby podcast in the United Kingdom,
probably.
Fact. There you go. But no, we don't blow our own trumpet, but I'm going to, because all of us, we all said we thought the game would go, Quinns would win it, but by less than 7. And we all cited the fact that players like in key decision-making positions like Nick Easter, Danny Kerr, Nick Evans, Mike Brown would be the difference. Mm. And so it proved.
I think if they had Lowe, maybe it might be different. But
yeah, you talk about key positions for Harlequins, all being fit and in form, but captain, arguably best player, and Matt Garvey, one of the best performing players of the season. Kyle Eastman, one of the most explosive players they've got in their midfield.
What was Kyle Eastman doing this week, by the way? Because he was also on Twitter with three ladies in a foreign country.
Yeah, a couple of days ago he posted a picture.
Did you not see that picture?
Yeah, he tweeted on Thursday afternoon.
He's there with three ladies, all stunning and all taller than Kyle.
Well, the taller bit I'm not that surprised about.
I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now. Bath look fragile. They finally broke. And if they'd won that, they'd have won it by clinging on. They've been clinging on to fourth place. Whereas Harlequin's going on a serious run of form now.
Yeah, they really do. They beat Leicester. They had some really tough games.
Yep.
Does this season get regarded as a failure for Bath?
Yes, I think so.
Think about how much they've spent.
And they've been in the top four virtually all season.
Yeah.
From pretty much day one.
Bruce Craig looked furious.
I'm not surprised.
Absolutely furious. Not upset, furious. And when a man like Bruce Craig is furious, people get handed P45s left, right and centre.
Well, they got rid of Gary Gold earlier in the season, didn't they?
I kind of think Ford isn't cut out for it. Not the fly half, his dad.
You reckon?
He kind of, when he's interviewed, he seems a little bit flustered. He looks, in the Gloucester game, he looked flustered.
I think he's had.
I think Toby Booth is the real deal.
He's had some tough injuries and some tough results.
You've got to be fair. I think a fully fit Bath team probably would have beaten Harlequins at the weekend with Francois Lowe, Matt Garvey, Kyle Eastman.
Yeah, Rob Webber.
Rob Webber.
Like your first two hookers both out injured is a big deal.
And also the third hooker went down.
Went off. Yeah.
So it's problematic. But Quinns play nice rugby. Their offloading game, however, is very similar to a certain Claremont, which is they break the line and they offload. And if you can't break the line, you're going down hard.
Yeah, very, very good point.
That makes, I don't know whether you did that deliberately, Jay, but that's a wonderful segue you just made there, making reference to Claremont. And because we're talking about Bath Quins, and in England, of course, that was the biggest result. But I would probably say across the rugby world, the biggest result of the weekend was Claremont losing their home record.
77 games unbeaten.
This was huge. In the playoff semi-final. No, playoff quarter-final.
Yes.
Against Cast.
Yeah.
Teams, you know, other teams go there and haven't been able to break them down. Claremont lost at home.
And instrumental to that was a South African-born but potential French international, Rory Cockett, who scored 17 of...
Who, in I think one of the very first episodes of the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, we picked him out as... Well, firstly, I think we picked him out because he had a ridiculous boot on him. He kicked a conversion from 60 metres.
I'm sure, did he not drop a goal for...
Dropped a goal from the halfway line on the touchline. Ridiculous boot on him. But scrum half can dabble at fly half, like all good French scrum halves can do. You're right, he had a big game.
He was the top point scorer in the top 14 last year, and he guided Cast to the championship last year. And it looks like he's going to be instrumental in doing it again. And I think as of very soon, he will be eligible for France.
His semi-finals for the top 14... Toulon, who got a bye straight to the semi-final by virtue of finishing top of the league in the regular season, will face off against Racing Metro,
who beat Toulouse
at home.
Yeah,
which is another big upset.
I'm not a fan of that Racing Metro side. I've said it a few times. I don't think they're very good. I think the players are better than the actual team, but they beat Toulouse. So.
Johnny Sexton had a really good game. Mike Phillips came on and put it about a bit in the second half. And I'm not talking about...
As he does, hey, lad.
We know he likes to put it about a bit, but I'm not talking about that. And the other semi-final will be Montpellier, who finished second in the regular season, who get a bye to the semi-final against the team that have just... I mean, they'll be on a massive high, beating Claremont in Claremont. Cast,
it'll look good to get to the final again, I guess.
Well, Montpellier finished second in the regular season.
They've got Mamuka Gorgodza.
Yeah.
Listen, well, let's get back to a player who's going to be absolutely instrumental in the Viva Premiership playoffs and in the Heineken Cup final, Jacques Berger. We met him at BT Sport at the weekend. It was an unbelievable moment for JB. If you look at the picture at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, we posted a picture of us with Jacques Berger. And JB, as Rory has pointed out on Twitter, JB, who's wearing a blazer.
Oh, come on.
In fact, the B stands for blazer. That is his name, J Blazer. Rory was suggesting that maybe you were using the blazer to hide your excitement of being next to Jacques.
He's very exciting. He's about the same size as me, but about three times a man. Four times a man. More.
So we had a few minutes with Jacques Berger in the green room at BT Sport, and we thought we could talk to him about rugby. We could talk to him about the World Cup next year. We could talk to him about the Premier League. No.
We're men. We like talking about men things.
So?
It's a couple of guys chatting.
So I asked him about my arthritis cream that he's using.
Oh, you did as well.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, no, that's not the thing you were thinking of, Tim.
No.
Talk to me about your arthritis cream. Do you really use it? He also sleeps in a cryogenic chamber two nights a week.
Yeah. We did find that out. He does.
Yeah.
Two nights a week he sleeps in a cryogenic... You're right, I've forgotten about
just
that.
Just like Universal Soldier. I think that's where they got the idea from. Universal Soldier, that is, not Jacques Berger.
Dolph Lundgren against Jacques Berger. Now, that would be a fight.
One-way traffic.
Yeah, definitely.
All one-way traffic.
So we asked Jacques Berger about a man thing, and I think you're going to enjoy this. We said, Jacques, tell us what meat you love. Tell us about your favourite meat.
Okay, my favourite will be a Kalahari sheep, a dorper, we call it. I don't know what the English word is for it, but a nice rib on like a split toaster, just up on the side, like you kind of hold it up in the fire and you keep it there for a while, and then some chops as well, with a bit of a braaibroekies, which is like a toasty, with some cheese and onions, tomatoes, a bit of chutney. On the barbecue and maybe two or three beers after that, just to get it down.
And you catch the animal that you then ate as well.
Well, you kill it yourself. You know, that's the caveman way. You gotta kill and eat. And
caveman stuff.
Hey, I'm a caveman. We are all cavemen secretly, so we just don't know yet.
Do you do a bit of hunting?
I do. I'm not a big fan, really. I like the experience more than I like the killing bit of it. I like going and being on the truck and having beers, and it's. You're there with your mates, and that's the best part of it. The actually shooting part is exciting, but because I didn't grow up on a farm, so I didn't go hunting a lot. So I'm not killing crazy. I just like their experience.
Other than Claremont, what's the tastiest thing you've killed?
I actually like Springboks. I like Springbok. We have quite a few on our farm, Springbok. So good meat, pretty lean as well. So like me, very lean. So no, it's hey.
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat, exactly.
What is your body fat percentage? You must get all that data all the time.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be great at the moment. Towards the end of the season, you try to keep your weight up a bit and you eat a bit more than you should. And so if you ask me at the beginning of the year, I'd say probably about 10-11%, which is not incredible, but it's not bad. But so you need to, you need to have a fine balance between being too light. Some guys pick up a lot of muscle easily and quickly, so takes the time, and you got to keep it up there as well. So.
Right, final question on meat.
Yes.
If you had just a fillet steak, how do you have that cooked?
Medium, almost still alive. It has to be almost still alive. Rare, medium rare. So you get it wrong. Rather too rare than too well done, I would say. It has to be red and bloody.
You're going to be called to the studio. Nice one.
How
good was that? Oh, good. What a man.
What a man.
Yeah.
Jacques Berger talking meat on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. Does it get better than that?
Well, yeah, actually it does, to be honest.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. Because we've got a brand new thing on the podcast, which we're bringing in now. Shall I introduce what it is first?
Play the music.
Okay, so we've got a brand new feature, and this came up when we were on the train on the way back from BT Sport at the weekend. The new feature that's going to feature on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast is called Banter Squadron!
Banter Squadron assemble!
The mission of Banter Squadron is to maintain banter standards, to uphold the traditional rugby banter values, and to reward service to banter that goes above and beyond the call of duty. Basically, it's celebrating and rewarding and recognising the amazing banter that some, because let's face it, not all do, some rugby players have.
And, yeah. And the first person we've got in, Johnny Wilkinson! Oh, have I got that wrong? Sorry, that's our next feature, isn't it? Sorry, not Johnny Wilkinson, no.
So we're taking nominations for Banter Squadron entrance, and that's where we need you to come in. So if you hear a post-match interview which has particularly good banter, or you see something on your team's website with some little content that they've got, you think, you know what, that player deserves to be in Banter Squadron, and it can be from the past as well. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, nominate who you think deserves to make it into Banter Squadron.
The most elite fighting unit in the world.
Exactly. It's only the best of the best we're looking for. So we got our first entry, the inaugural entrant into Banter Squadron, and there was only one place to start, wasn't there? It was a unanimous decision when we sat down at the selection committee meeting.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
What makes this entrant to Banter Squadron so special, Jay? Jay Blazer.
Crikey. Well, I mean, the fact that I use the word crikey. Special kind of character. The kind of character you'd want to go for a beer with.
Go fishing with.
He would love fishing. He's just a very, very special man.
Phil?
And very consistent as well. Just maintaining consistent high standards.
It rolls off the tongue. It doesn't pause for breath.
Yeah.
It's not like he thinks, I think I need a funny analogy for that. No.
He's as sharp of mind and with banter as he is as a player.
He is.
Sharper, perhaps, some might argue.
Exactly. We are making the first entrant into Banter Squadron! The Honey Badger! Of course.
Well done.
Well done, the Honey Badger. You're in. You've made it now. You've got your Aussie caps, but this is it. You're the first man in Banter Squadron, and we name you Brigadier Badge.
When we're back on our line here, and we're D-ing like the boys in the trenches in Gallipoli there. Well, we're not as difficult as that, but and then at the end they were just like that kid that fell out of the tree, he just wasn't in it. I was chasing balls. I was busier than a buddy, busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad, mate. It was flat out. So when I got that,
there you go, up the guts and into him, as the badge would say, Brigadier Badge.
Now, in subsequent weeks, we're going to have more members of Banter Squadron.
Banter Squadron! After you said like that, Jay.
Yeah, Banter Squadron! However, we want your opinion still.
We want to emphasise the positive. We want to focus on the positive, the great banter and people that deserve to go into Banter Squadron. This is an elite rugby force. But if there is someone that has some really terrible chat, then we can also court-martial
exactly
some
exactly.
rugby players.
and put them in banter prison. I mean, my
banter prison.
Back to on-field rugby matters. And this Thursday, well, depending on when you listen to this, it might be today, it might be yesterday, it might be a couple of days' time. But on the 15th of May, Stuart Lancaster is going to announce his England squad to tour New Zealand. And JB is a financial advisor.
That is correct.
And Phil is a quantity surveyor.
Correct.
So you guys are pretty handy with number crunching. I want a bit more of that, I want a bit less of that, or buy or sell. And I thought, you know what, let's take those skills into account and kind of treat the England squad like it's a stock exchange. Like, yeah. you have the ability to sell players or to get rid of some toxic asset.
Yeah.
New venture.
Now, before we do, are we going off the old England squad which went to the Six Nations?
So I've got a list of everyone who was involved in the Six Nations, and also there's a few people who were in the wider squad.
Yeah.
So there's two squads announced at the Six Nations, one which was like the permanent squad at that time, and one which was just the Six Nations squad.
Yeah.
So I can read off the front row, the second row, the back row, and we do it in blocks like that.
That's a good shout, Phil.
So the front row block was Vunipola, Marler, Mullen, Corbettiero, Hartley, Youngs, Weber, Cole, Wilson, Thomas.
Crikey.
So immediately there, you've got a big problem at hooker.
Oh my word, you do.
Because Youngs has been announced out. Mm-hmm. He won't be playing in New Zealand because his wife's ill.
Mm.
Hartley has not played for probably 6 or 7 weeks. He wasn't involved at the weekend again. And Weber...
Oh, I'd say Henry Thomas's stock has plummeted.
Yeah, because he's not been starting at all. And when he has come on...
He's been penalised in every single game. He's lost out at scrum time.
Getting back-to-back yellow cards as well.
Yeah. I think his turning point was that Bath game.
At scrum time, I think he's one player that the new ELVs have not helped because he looked so much better last season than this season.
Mm.
So Henry Thomas gone, dropped,
well, I'm not saying sold. I'm not saying he'd be dropped, but I'm saying his stock has plummeted. And which means that, yeah, we've got an issue at tight head.
Because Cole is also out. What,
because Cole is also out.
So David Wilson, I said last week that David Wilson, Paul James and whoever they played hooker would beat the Harlequins front row comfortably. Not so much.
Carl Sinclair is a talent.
Well, I was thinking more of Marler. So, very smart.
Player like Jake Cooper-Woolley, might he be brought in as a tight head?
He's a possibility, yeah. Will Collier and Carl Sinclair are two young players who are playing well. I don't know who would replace Cole in that squad. Because let's assume that Wilson and Thomas, even though Thomas's stock is falling, are going to be there. You really need one more.
Sinclair?
I think Cooper-Woolley might be the one. That
Cooper-Woolley, yes.
Hooker?
Hooker's the...
Oh, it's a big one, isn't it?
Well,
we've got contenders, right? So let's assume Tom Youngs and Rob Webber are out. Dylan Hartley will go, albeit not a bit rusty.
Yeah.
Let's throw people into the mix then. So
Ward.
Dave Ward.
Yes, good one.
Without a doubt, I think he'll be in. His stock has, especially through the European games and Harlequins, good form recently.
Batty?
Can't see that.
No.
Well, I mean, he's an English hooker, and there's not many of them.
I think, well, there's a few other younger, potentially more talented. Like,
outside, bet I see him quite a lot. Tommy Taylor at Sale. Yeah. Although he's not for the Saxons.
Yeah, and he's not been starting as much recently.
No, that's true.
Cowan Dickey had a good game. Admittedly, in a poor match, in front of Stuart Lancaster at the weekend.
Ludicrous name.
So I think if Lancaster there to watch anyone, given the hooker problems, he would have been watching Cowan Dickey, and it would have done his chances no harm. Mm. And Haywood of Northampton,
right,
Hartley's
okay.
backup has been playing very well in a very good Northampton
team.
So
we're looking at
Hartley, Dave Ward, and one other possibly Cowan Dickey.
Jamie George as well. He's a possible.
Oh, Jamie George, that's a guy that needs a shot. Definitely.
He started for the Saxons in the Six Nations equivalent.
Jamie George really, T-Rex arms.
So they've got some good...
T-Rex arm, balloon-headed Jamie George. Get him in.
So they've got some good young guys that they can blood. So it might not be a bad thing with those injuries.
Maybe, yeah.
Loosehead?
It's still fine. They're all good.
I think Corbs, depending on how he plays in the next few games, might come in for Mullen. Vunipola, Marler, Corbs or Mullen.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Second row.
Laws and Launchbury are nailed on for me.
Carlin got injured.
They are FTSE 100 top 10 performers, aren't they?
They certainly are.
Their stock rose and rose during the Six Nations, and it's not fallen at all.
They haven't let their shareholders down. They're all getting dividends.
And then Parlin's not been playing, and he went off in the match of the weekend.
He's struggling. Kitchener scored
and
a few.
And Ed Slater's had a great season.
Yeah. Atwood and Slater were the other two.
Atwood, that's the one I want to see.
In the wider tournament, so I imagine those two will stay.
Now,
Atwood and Slater.
Well, especially, like Courtney Laws, his stock has risen as an athlete and everything, but it's his line-out performance that's really taken him to another level, into the...
Top-performing portfolio. He's kind of like a dot-com boom.
Yeah.
No, booming and booming.
Well, no, it's still in the boom.
It's still in the boom.
He does plenty of booming.
Definitely.
He does,
boom.
Yeah.
And back row.
So back row, there was Robshaw, Wood, Vunipola, all good. Then Morgan, Kvezic, Tom Johnson and Tom Croft.
Kvezic's stock has been dropping all season, and then the graph's just picking up.
No. Kvezic is the Enron of rugby. Forget him. He's done.
Kvezic done. For me, you can get rid of Kvezic and Morgan and bring in Armitage.
Oh, he won't do it, but he should.
He should do it. And
he won't do it.
I just said Ewers start of the season. I don't think Ewers will go. No.
No.
Johnson played well for England when he came back.
He's a solid player, but he's 31. And
well, are we trying to win the World Cup next year?
Yeah, exactly. World Cup next year. That's all right.
He's solid. He's not spectacular, though.
Stuart Lancaster's sort of guy. If he was a fund manager to keep the allowed as you go, and he would be a low risk fund manager, wouldn't he?
He'd be a passive.
He'd be a long term. He'd be a long term.
He's picking up new assets and then
sticking
allowing them to appreciate or banking that they will appreciate, rather than going for tried and tested.
I think Ben Morgan will go.
I think he will.
For me, his stock has dropped this season.
Yeah.
And but he's like not playing, though, is he? That's the other thing. Is he injured?
He's been playing recently, but he scored
at the weekend.
I think he needs to lose about 10 kgs.
Yeah. You know, he used to run on a treadmill with a snorkel to lose weight and increase his cardio.
To get him fitter, yeah. I've read that as well.
Imagine seeing Ben Morgan here. You just rock up to the gym.
To Fitness First.
Yeah, Fitness First. You're running there. Ben Morgan is massive. Then sticks in his snorkel.
Vunipola and Robshaw, in very different reasons, I'm perfectly happy with that. Tom Wood, I'm pretty happy about. The backup back row, I'm not very happy with in the England squad.
It would be nice if Garvey was fit. It would be nice to see Ferns get a shot in there. Wallace of Harlequins, another young English back rower.
He could be a superstar.
But there's no one I'm going on where you have to pick them, apart from Armitage.
Jamie Gibson?
Agreed.
Gibson,
stock on the rise.
Croft.
Tom Croft.
Yes. End of season recovery.
Happen? What is it about Tom Croft and getting fit?
He's just not really into the Premiership, is he? That's what it is.
He just likes touring with England or the Lions.
Is there some representative rugby? Go on then.
Halfbacks aren't going to change, are they? That's just... We've got another couple of top... Well, we've got one top performing, like, probably...
Well, Sippers might go. Sippers, sorry. I've got that from Delalio. How does Sippers do? I was like, who? Sippers.
Ben Young's... I mean, they're all the scrum halves. It's just going to stay the same.
Yeah, no scrum halves.
Let's move on to fly half, because there is a question mark there.
So the four fly halves,
Farrell and Ford, done.
Yeah,
good.
Then Myler and Burns. Now Burns' stock has dropped.
Toxic. That is an asset that you just drop. Even you accept your losses and you just drop and you forget about it and you move on.
But we've been saying for a lot of the season that Cipriani deserves a shot, but
at the expense of Myler.
Yeah, Myler's been playing so well recently. That I don't think he can.
No.
Well, is it a case that you know exactly what Myler is? You just know what he is. So if anything goes wrong, you can bring him back.
I just think that's so unfair on Myler.
Why?
You're out in New Zealand and it's, someone gets injured, 10 minutes to go, you want someone to come on. Who would you pick right now, Myler or Cipriani?
Cipriani.
Half the time.
I don't know. I'd feel really sorry for Myler if he doesn't get on the plane, because he's done nothing wrong.
I feel sorry for him. But
you don't want to take four tens on a tour, because they won't all play.
What I was going to say is, the only thing... Myler and Farrell could both be in the final of the Premiership, which means they wouldn't be available for the first test. So you would need Ford and another, Danny Cipriani.
So you can take Cipriani and justify it by saying...
Yeah, and you take four players on the tour, you get them all experience and all
that,
and they're all in the setup.
If Cipriani gets a shot, he might not let it go. If they play him, he might... I mean, George Ford is the way forward in the dry.
Yeah.
He's the way forward.
Oh, God, that happened.
Centres. So the five that were involved, Burrell, 12 Trees, Barrett, Tuolagi, Eastmond. So 12 Trees looks like he's injured.
Yeah.
Shame. He's really...
there's another possible option.
move Farrell.
Try Farrell at 12.
I've wanted to do that for years. That's what I've always said.
I think he might do that with the Cipriani thing as well.
I think
it's possible because Burrell, who played really well at 13 and has played for 12 at Northampton, is a very different type of 12 to 12 trees. Farrell is more similar to 12 trees at 12. So
yeah, agreed.
It would keep things a bit more consistent if they did that.
Yeah, I like Burrell at 13. Although he plays 12 for his club, I like him at 13.
So in the Tuilagi rule.
So potentially, Cipriani comes in, 12 trees drops out.
Just think about how exciting this is. Kerr, Cipriani, Eastmond, and then...
Tuilagi.
Yeah. Just put Brown...
No Ford or Farrell?
Just in terms of pure excitement, I mean, I think actually and Cipriani...
I think Ford,
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're much of a muchness.
Ford, Farrell, Tuilagi. I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah, that could
Ford,
be
No,
awesome.
Ford, Eastmond. I want Eastmond in there. Eastmond is...
Danny Kerr, George Ford, Owen Farrell, Manu Tuilagi. I quite like that.
Yeah, I do as well. I think that could work really well. But we'll see.
Wings.
So, wings, we had Ashton, May, Noel, Watson, Wade, Yard.
Noel's out.
And Wade is out as well.
And Wade is out.
Wade.
So we've got four left, though.
Ashton, May, Watson, Yard.
I think Ashton will get a recall.
I think he'll tour because he's playing superbly. Do you see May's 80-metre try at the weekend?
He's looking good.
Great gas.
It's Joel. Really good. Joel. That's a rugby league player.
Noel.
No. Shane Monaghan. Is he Irish?
I don't know.
He's on serious form.
He's scored four tries in two games, but four pretty simple,
Marlon Yard.
Simple tries.
Is
Marlon
the one,
Yard,
isn't it?
Yeah. He will definitely tour. He will potentially be starting.
The housefly.
Yeah. and Watson may tour because he can cover fullback.
Yes.
Watson's a good show.
And the fullbacks, Good, Brown, Foden, all playing well.
Can't argue with them.
And Foden can cover wing as well.
Yeah.
And scrum half, allegedly.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to put him into an international game at scrum half.
Not so much.
But yeah, nothing's changing there. All their stock is pretty high.
Right, interesting. Before we get to the Aviva Premiership semi-finals and all the rest of it, let's have a stash update because we've talked about this season being the golden era of kits.
Golden age of kits.
The golden age of kits. Still our favourite was Leicester Tigers' home strip this season.
Yes, magnificent.
And one of our least favourites was Leicester Tigers' away strip for this season. That gingham like picnic blanket shirt that they have. Ugh. Anyway, we have a stash update.
Stash!
Because London Irish have unveiled their new kit for the 2014-15 season. Have you seen it, gents?
No.
I'm furiously typing into Google to try and find it. Here we go. Right. Because it's right. So they've gone from ISC, the Australian, mainly rugby league brand.
Mainly rugby league manufacturer.
To O'Neill's.
Who make Harlequin's kit.
That's it.
I think it's a step backwards.
What the hell is it? Oh, it looks like a Gaelic football shirt.
Do you not think in very much in the way Ireland have done before? It just looks like an Ireland shirt.
It does look...
It's got that emerald green rather than the dark green.
It's exactly the same colour, as an Ireland shirt.
I don't like the fit. I mean, I know it's just on like mannequins there, but...
Yeah, you can't judge it. It looks like it's being worn by Freddie Burns.
Yeah.
rather than by...
Or Jermaine Jenas.
Rather than by Marlon Yard or... Well, no, he won't be playing for Irish next season. I'm trying to think of an Irish player.
Jermaine Jenas won't, no.
Rather than Trevor Arnus or Blair Cowan or someone like that.
I don't know why you say Trevor Arnus.
Trevor Anus.
Thank you.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a step backwards.
Okay, so let's just quickly go through this. I don't like the texture. I don't like how shiny it is. I don't like the fit, and I don't like the collar. Other than that, it's quite a nice kit. Oh, and I don't like the O'Neill sign either. It reminds me of like a student ball.
I actually prefer the emerald green to the dark green.
Yeah, the green is probably a little bit nicer, but it's just so plain as well.
I don't mind plain, as long as it's classic and plain. I don't like shiny and plain. That's a shame because the London Irish away jersey I really liked. The home jersey I wasn't a fan of.
It's just gone very, very plain, hasn't it? A bit like Newcastle have done this season.
Although that is not a good thing.
The Newcastle shirt is all right, and I quite like that their home and away kit is just a direct inverse, like New Zealand do.
Yeah,
the
negative.
The white, black, and then it's the negative image. But their off the pitch stash that Dean Richards insists on wearing.
That Orion fleece with a green collar.
From 1984.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible. Really, it's like...
When did Newcastle get green in their kit? When did this happen? They went through a stage of having pink in their kit.
And yellow. They've had yellow in the past.
Have they?
White and yellow, yeah.
I hope they go down again next time.
Well, that was their 16th consecutive league defeat.
Good.
At the weekend.
Good, I enjoyed
it. Yeah, there's a good chance they will go down next season. Although they have signed the two Alagis.
Oh yeah, that's a big signing.
Yeah, that's going to make
two massive signings.
Well, one
more
of them,
massive signing.
One massive signing and one token come along for the ride. I won't sign unless you sign my brother, who's not quite as good as me.
Yeah, so
they've signed Alex Tuilagi.
Why don't you pull that trick, Tim? You've got your brother's got a few more really good years. Why not have one good year at London Irish?
Yeah, I could. No.
Imagine how it's ending.
Never mind.
Yeah, so let's not talk about Newcastle again, eh?
Again, if your club has a new stash, let us know. Keep us up to speed with what's going on so we can talk about it and give it a stash update on the podcast. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, where I will post a picture of London Irish's new kit for next season. I like it. These two, not quite so sure.
You don't like it.
I do.
You don't mean that.
No, I do.
Why?
I like the...
Describe what you like about it.
I like the emerald green. I like the simplicity of it. There you go. Looks like an island shirt, which actually I quite like.
It looks like that they got standard stock stash from Decathlon. That's what
printed on it.
You could view it as a good or a bad thing, but...
A bad thing.
You could wear an Ireland jersey or a London Irish jersey to a London Irish match or an Ireland match, and you'd look like you were supporting them just the same.
Well, I mean, you probably would be.
So you have to buy one jersey for two occasions.
Wow. That's just what I want for my...
That's what London Irish are doing there. They're saving their fans money.
How many
rugby clubs are doing that?
I like the Green Bay Packers because the Green Bay Packers demanded that when Nike took over the kits, that they even use the same material as the old jersey. The Green Bay Packers kit hasn't changed for over 40 years.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That is very cool.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the rugby then and... preview these semi-finals which are coming up. It's going to be big matches. So the semi-finals line up.
This coming Friday at 7:45 is Northampton versus Leicester.
It's on a Friday. Oh, wow. How? Well, when's the Wasps game?
Northampton-Leicester games are brutal anyway. Under the floodlights, that is just going to be epic.
Yeah.
Absolutely epic.
The fixture in the season that was the direct equivalent of this, the Northampton-Leicester game that ended in a draw 19-all, which there was a little bit of controversy in the last 10 seconds with a line-out. So this will be a real battle. Like Northampton felt like they should have won that game and will really want to be getting one up on Leicester.
And what a way to go into it. 74 points to 13 against
Wasps.
Against Wasps.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
So, where's the key battles?
Everywhere.
Centres, Tuilagi versus Burrell.
Will Corbisiero be put back in? Will he have more game time? I don't know. Waller on Mullapolo, I think, is a big
It is, yeah.
Battle.
Waller's playing very well. But
we didn't talk about him in the England squad. My word, how could we miss Waller as a shout for Loosehead?
Yeah, but they're just so fixed, the four players, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've learnt my lesson about writing off Northampton because I always think that they were a little bit fickle when it comes to like fronting up. But they've had some impressive wins. They've drawn against Leicester. I just think Leicester are coming into too much form and they're too powerful.
Geneva versus North.
That's big. Well, yeah, that is a match.
Tuilagi against Burrell and Pisa. I see Northampton. No, I see a Northampton win here. Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Up front, as in the front row, I think Leicester do have a big advantage, Joel. Munipola,
Youngs. Munipola.
Yeah, maybe they do. Maybe they do have an advantage.
Yeah,
home advantage, I think, will see Northampton home. Much
get
as
the
it
ball
did.
To North. Snap judgment, Leicester.
Saints.
Big call. Yeah, I'm going to say Saints. I think Saints will do it.
Sarri's Quins on Saturday. This is a 2 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, 17th.
Harlequins may be the form team in the entire league.
Yeah, and what I really like about Harlequins and Saracens, actually, is the way that the players really seem to... Like, you feel how much love they have for that club and for the sort of atmosphere they manage to get in the squad. It's something quite special, actually, with both sides.
With both, yeah. And they're also, they were very respectful towards each other on BT Sport. I mean, obviously they're media training and all the rest of it, but you could feel some genuine respect there. I think it's going to go, Harlequin's trying to speed up the game. They're going to throw everything at Saris, and Saris are just going to take it. Take it, take it, and take it. And they're going to beat them into submission.
like they did against Clermont,
yeah.
Where you, Tim, you pointed out that Clermont had all the territory, all the possession, but just got nowhere because Saracens' defence was so resolute.
If you think about rugby coaches, I always say, you know, you can only win the game with the ball. It's such a powerful position to be in, to know you can win the game without a ball.
Mm.
It's frightening.
But then Quinns will be like, yeah, let's have it. We didn't think we didn't expect to be here. Let's go for it.
Playing with house.
You've got nothing to lose.
Playing with house money.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. So it's fascinating. I think Quinns won't be nervous. They'll feel liberated, like, we made it, let's do it.
A narrow Quinns win or an absolute crushing by Saracens?
Is that what you're predicting?
I'm not sure which one it is.
I think Saracens by 10 points.
I was going to say...
If Saracens win, it'll be...
Not easy, but I think as comfortable as a semi-final can be, Saracens will win.
Yeah, it will not be easy, but I think Saracens have enough to do it.
And at this stage, if you have to call the final in 3 weeks' time or two weekends after this week, if we did say it was Saints... Saints.
I would go for actually, because Saris will have just played the Toulon game, the brutal Toulon
and
game.
And Saints have beaten them twice, haven't they?
They definitely beat them once, like that I can remember this season.
They smashed them as well.
Yeah, so Saints will have that week off to rest and recuperate.
Yep.
Saracens won't be able to have a booster week.
No, and they're going to be trying to tackle Rousseau all day.
Saracens will beat Harlequins, but then... We'll end up with no silverware. They'll get to two finals and win nothing.
Wow.
My prediction.
Wow.
Sorry, Jack.
I think...
Depends if Jack Berger plays.
I think Saracens will win both competitions.
Wow.
Again, you mentioned that Clermont match and they had no possession. What was it like?
It was 30%.
30% possession. And they had even less territorial advantage, and they managed to beat Clermont.
Yeah.
Hammer Clermont. I think it's their year. Bring on this weekend. Bring it on. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We'll be back with another one next week. And you can always get in touch at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Go and have a look at that picture of us with Jack Berger at BT Sport. Go and see, make up your own mind whether JB is trying to hide being very, very excited, shall we say, when he's standing next to and hugging Jack Berger. So thoughts on who needs to be in the England squad? Who do you want to nominate for Banter Squadron? How do you think the weekend's matches are going to go? And if your team has any stash updates to let us know about any kit, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. That's where you can keep the conversation going. And yeah, nice one for listening. We'll see you next time, JB.
Bye.
Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
There's only one thing left to do, and that's be played out by our theme song. We asked for it a few weeks back, said, could anyone make a remix of Mick Morgan, the Rugby League commentator? It happened, and well, it's our adopted theme song for the podcast. See you next time.
In the final and on in the game. Andy A.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.